Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, August 16th, and you are tuned into Garage Talk Live's Girls Getting the Facts with Cindy and Tammy. And Cindy, what do we have on our agenda this evening?
Well, we had a couple guests lined up, but due to scheduling conflicts, they've had to possibly cancel or postpone. We were expecting to hear from Jennifer Jo Cobb from Cobb Racing and TJ Bell. Unfortunately, they both had team meetings tonight at 8. It is possible that we might hear from them, but if not, we're just going to go through the little schedule and talk about some news and rumors in the NASCAR industry. We're going to talk about the upcoming Cup race and truck race in Michigan, and the Nationwide Boys are in Montreal, Canada this weekend. So we've got a lot to cover. We do want to ask everyone that's listening if you would like to be part of the show tonight. We definitely urge you to call in. The number is 646-649-1899. We would love to hear from you, your opinions, anything goes tonight. So, enjoy the show, and hopefully we'll get you to call in.
Sounds like a plan. So what we got in the world of news this week?
There's a lot of stuff going on. Let's first talk about Joey Logano. Logano's future is still up in the air, according to Jay Ski. He's been with JGR since he was 16, and he's 22 now. Jay Ski reports that the organization has a lot invested in him, and Logano has a lot invested in the organization. There are loyalty issues on both sides. I really kind of want to know what that means.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting when you say loyalty issues and everything like that. I would think more there'd be performance issues than loyalty issues, because he really hasn't been giving them, I don't know how to phrase it nicely, but the results that they're looking for and the results that as a team they want.
Right. I'm really not sure, but it also, with the loyalty issues, it says, Joey Logano is without a guaranteed sponsor for next year and beyond with Home Depot. And they're with Matt Kenseth next year. The opportunity has latched on with Shell Pennzoil and other sponsors at Penske. It's
wow.
Too good of an offer to pass up, it says.
Wow.
Everything is up in the air with Logano.
That's not good at all. I mean, obviously, Home Depot is not happy with what they're getting sponsorship-wise out of there. And, I mean, you have Home Depot and Lowe's, which are your two home improvement stores and your two big names in NASCAR. But it almost sounds like if they're going to be joining with another team, maybe they're not be funding as much as they are now.
Well, here I am always looking at two sides. But honestly, if they're not happy with, Joey, but this year alone, let's just talk about 2012. Can you name a Home Depot commercial with Joey Logano in it?
Only when they first started with him.
And that's with the little boy.
Well, it was when he was going around the store. He was going around the store, and they were picking out team components, basically. Need this screw, you need this owner. That's the only one I remember with him. Unlike Tony Stewart, where, you see him wreck a fence and go to Home Depot,
everything.
He fixes it, and he wins,
Right. Well, with Joey, I'm sitting here thinking back, and the only one that I clearly remember, and I can't even say that it's from 2012 season, is the cute little redheaded boy, curly hair, sitting on the ground, and Joey Logano pulls up. He said, Joey Logano, he was drawing a picture, and it was for the kids to design a car?
Oh, yes, when they had Kyle Busch in the pink kitty suit.
Right, and then they had one with Joey Logano. But was that really Home Depot? I don't know. So really, has the sponsor held up their deal also? It doesn't seem so. And maybe that's a loyalty issue. Maybe that's where Joey's saying, look, I'm not even being promoted.
See, now, and in one of the statements that Joey put out there, he says, I've got a couple offers. He's 22 years old, and he says that he's just trying to decipher what's the best for me, what's going to give me the most trophies and win the most races out of. So he's making it sound like there's multiple offers, but, you know, same thing goes in the silly season rumor mill. They're saying that Matt Kenseth is taking his spot in that number 20. So,
well,
Matt, it says he's not talking here.
Home Depot is likely going to Matt Kenseth next year. So, you know, I mean, that only
kind of lets the cat out of the bag of what's going on.
Yeah, you know, that only puts a little bit more concrete into the rumor.
Right, and Penske still
has this firmed up and taken over the 22. Yeah, I don't know. It says here, Gibbs said he hoped to be able to announce something in 2 weeks, which coincidentally would have the Cup Series in Atlanta, the headquarters for Home Depot. Look at that.
Yeah.
They're going to be in Atlanta. They're going to be in Georgia, and that's where Home Depot is. Therefore, Matt Kenseth is going to go there and do his media, you know, interview, and they're going to welcome him on board.
That's what it sounds like. You know, it sounds like that's where Kenseth is going next year. I know some people and some fans of our show that are Matt Kenseth fans, and, you know, I don't know how they're going to like him going into a Toyota. I'm not sure how his fans are going to like that. But, you know, maybe, I mean, after a while when you're with the same team or with the same company, even in a regular job, you just kind of get into a rut and you have to make changes. So maybe the changes are good for everybody involved.
Right, exactly. But now it also states here, Logano said last week he should have a clarity in a few days to 2 weeks. With the 2 weeks now in the equation, since a few days after this has passed, he also has been noncommittal on whether he prefers to stay at Gibbs. So, you know, it sounds to me that these PR people are just doing everything they can to beat around the bush, but it's a done deal.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing that leads me to wonder then, too, is who is taking Matt's spot at Fenway? Who's going to drive his car, and what's happening with his sponsors? Where are they going?
I don't know. Something to look up. I'm going to do that right now. Let's just type in Roush anyway, you know?
I mean, is that something that maybe Kurt Busch could be moving into?
You know?
I mean, could he be going there? Is
because
he going to stay firm with the team
leaving.
He's at?
Yeah, because, you know, he's leaving Phoenix.
Maybe Logano will go to Phoenix.
Oh, gosh, I really hope not. I mean, nothing against Phoenix Racing, but, you know, it would be very hard for Joey to take that step down.
Exactly.
Yes, Kurt Busch is one of the bigger names, but if we recall, Kurt Busch kind of didn't have a choice on what team he wanted to join. He was basically joined or out. I don't believe that Joey is in that position. I mean, it has nothing to do with his driving ability. With Kurt, it was attitude. And Joey has one of the best attitudes out there.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, though. I don't know why. Like you were saying, too, he really hasn't been in the forefront when it comes to Home Depot, at least not in commercials in our area. Maybe in other people's areas he has been. But in our area, you haven't seen him. I don't even think when I go to Home Depot, like I know when Tony was in there, you'd walk in and you'd see a big cutout of Tony's store. I was like, oh, yeah, see, you know, but now it's just kind of like, okay, yep, I'm at Home Depot. I'm going to get what I need, and I'm going to walk back out the door. But you walk into Lowe's, and you've got Jimmy Johnson stuff everywhere.
You know, you're right. I really don't know. It's just kind of, I don't know. You know, I mean, it leaves a pretty good gap. I mean, even though things seem pretty concrete here, there's still a great big gap as how it merges all together. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll have to, you know, definitely keep everyone posted on this.
Right. And, you know, of course, they're not going to say anything until everything's officially signed and all of that. But it keeps it interesting. I think that's part of the reason at this time of year it keeps everybody's interest. You know, you have seeing who's going to qualify for the chase going on. But you also have seeing who's going to go with what team. Is your driver going to stay there, or are they going to switch? Are you going to be getting all their current gear on clearance for Christmas, or are you going to be keeping the same stuff?
Right, you're going to grab that winner circle for $298 instead of $398?
Exactly. are the coats going to be on sale for $50 the last race weekend or $200? It makes a difference.
$25, right. You know, and here's something you say. It is possible that Joey may already know where he's going, and with this announcement, it may tie all of it together, that Matt Kenseth will be in the number 20. Joey Logano is going to, you know, California Girl Racing. You know, I like the way I promote my team in there, CA Girl Racing, for my fantasy team. you know, it just, I think it might already all be in play, especially with Joey, and they're just holding out for one big announcement, or it could come down to, you know, January of next year when we finally hear that Joey has a full-time ride with a team but still struggling with sponsors.
Right.
I mean, it can go either way. I don't think, if it's not announced within the next 2 weeks, he has no plans and he's going to struggle throughout the remainder of the season to try to gather whatever sponsors, big-name sponsors. You know, he's looking for national sponsors. And he's going to struggle with that and find a team, hopefully not a rent-a-ride, and go from there.
And hopefully he can get in with somebody, too, you know, that is going to give him the chance. He is still young. He still has a lot of potential with his career. You know, maybe he just needs to find the right, you know, combination so it all falls into place.
Right. And for a driver at 22 to be out with the record that he has is unheard of. We do realize that. It's unheard of.
Right.
You know, we're not going to see that. You know, we're not going to see Joey completely out of a ride because his records are not that bad. His stats are not that bad. Okay, you know, and if we want to talk about that, let's talk about Trevor Bayne. Okay, come on.
Oh, he's
had no luck, though.
That poor boy. He goes and wins the Daytona 500 and then gets bit by something and gets him so sick that he's in the hospital for a while. You know, he just has had no luck.
Right. But what I'm saying is he is nowhere near the competition level of Joey Logano. Okay? But yet he still has, you know, his rides, his sponsors. So I don't count Joey out. I think he's just struggling to see where his niche is going to be, you know, this next coming year.
See, now here's another little tidbit. Logano, what Gibbs Racing is saying is that they're looking to either have another team, that he could have a full-time or part-time ride with them, or a full-time nationwide ride, which there's your step down right there for him. He said, and
right.
Gibbs said, you know, we want him to retire at JGR. We want to figure out how to make it all that work. But, you know, and
no,
he said his preference is to keep Logano
so.
Full-time. But then right after that, it goes that there is a possibility that Penske Racing has mentioned a possibility that AJ Allmendinger is released, that they might take Logano. So there's another spot. You know, it just adds into the mix.
Yeah. You know, I think we can, you know, have speculation on this all day long. I mean, because we can start looking at who's moving where already, who's already announced, and what sponsors are no longer sponsoring a specific team that could move to another one. I mean, we could do this for the whole 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Carl Edwards sums it up the best, though, when they asked him when he was in contract talks. He goes, I'm not saying nothing till my name is signed on a line and I know it's sealed and it's the real deal and it's happening.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, you know, we wish the best for Joey and hope the outcome is what, you know, what he needs. Because I can totally see Joey being devastated at this point of uncertainty.
Right.
He doesn't like that. You know, he doesn't like to not know what's going on. He seems very quiet and reserved, but on the inside, he definitely wants to see the future ahead of him. And at this point, I don't know if there really is that we can see.
And that's a shame for him.
Yeah. And was it Ella or Elsa, his dog, you know? We wish both of them the best of luck, little tiny bulldog or what is TJ's dog? Kingston.
Kingston.
Yeah, same kind of dog he is, but tiny.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, it's just adorable. So let's move on. You know, we wish Joey the best, and let's see what happens with that. We can go with with what they're saying is some drivers can clinch the spot after this race. They can clinch the chase spot. We know, let's see here, Jimmy Johnson, the magic number for this weekend is 145. Any driver 145 points ahead of 11th place leaving Michigan will clinch the top 10 spot. So let's see, 12 drivers, 3 bonus points. Okay, Greg Biffle can lock up a 10 spot over 11, but he has to have 145 points. They all have to have 145 points somewhere here. Matt Kenseth with 145 point lead over 11. He sits 122 points ahead of 11th place.
Right, and it's going to be hard though, because I mean Casey has been running strong, and as long as the car holds together, you know, and he has a good run, he could really screw up everybody's math. But
yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this and I'm kind of shocked at this point in the season to see some of the names where they are. Like Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is 14th. Jeff is 15th. And I'm just sitting there looking at it.
No.
Yeah.
Did he jump down? Oh,
yeah,
he
went down 2 spots. Jeff is in 15th right now with 634 points. He's 143 points out of first. So, I mean, it's kind of shocking to see some of the big names that we're used to seeing. It's like Carl Edwards finished second last year. He's sitting there right in 12th.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows changing tides of sport. I mean, you've got Martin Truex sitting in there in 6th place. You got Clint Bowyer in 7th, who barely made the chase last year. And when he made it with some controversy because the car didn't pass post-inspection. So,
right.
You know, you got Denny Hamlin, who's sitting there right there in the bubble in 10th. It's going to be an interesting chase. I mean, right now, Jimmy Johnson, Greg Biffle, they're 1 point apart. I personally have liked how they've changed the point system breakdown, so it's not as far apart. You know, 1 point difference between each place really makes it a tighter race, makes it better for your year end, because even if you did this heads up the rest of the year out, they're all going to be fighting for that top spot.
Right. Yeah, well, and they say that Brad Keselowski has a remote chance, a very remote chance, of even clinching the wild card spot. They just
Brad?
Don't think it's going to happen. Yep.
But he's sitting pretty firm in 5th right now. I'd be surprised if he wasn't in the chase.
Well, I don't know.
He's sitting in 5th. He's sitting 44 points out of 1st. He's sitting 5 points up ahead of 10th. You know, I wouldn't count
right,
him
well,
out. I mean, he came up strong last year.
Yeah, it says Keselowski has a remote chance, of clinching at least a wild card spot with a win on Sunday. He has to have a win on Sunday to even clinch
that. Well, yeah, the clinch,
now,
but I don't think he's going to be one of the ones that falls out of the top 10 before we hit chase time. I think he's going to be one that's firmly in the chase.
What are we at? 11, 10? We're down to 10 before the chase? Are we 10 weeks out? I believe so.
Race 22. 10
races? Yeah.
4 weeks out.
Why am I picking 10? Because I'm on the wrong month on the calendar. Never mind.
Yep, we are 4 weeks out from the chase before they reset the points, and then, you know, that's when your bonus points and your wins and everything like that come into play. So now it's the time to, you know, buckle down and get the wins. Right now, if we reset it, we'd have Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski, and Tony Stewart all have 3 wins each. So if we'd reset right now, there's your top 3. Of the top 10 that are in there, Denny Hamlin has 2 wins. And then you go to Greg Biffle, Matt Kenseth, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Clint Bowyer, who each have a win apiece, followed by Truex and Harvick with no wins yet this year. And, I mean, you're sitting here looking, too. Carl Edwards has no win yet this year, but Casey Kane has 2. So, and Ryan Newman has 1. So that's your top 13 right there. You still got Kyle Busch sitting on the outside. He has only 1 win this year, which is also kind of surprising for him. So it is a different chase scenario this year already. And it makes me wonder, you know, what is Kyle Busch thinking? What is Carl Edwards thinking? What's going through their heads right now? You know, when they're sitting on the outside looking in going, what do we do? You know, Newman's the same way. What do you do from here?
Right. I don't know.
Tony last year gave his team that wonderful pep talk of, we don't deserve to be in the chase. We're not good enough to be in the chase. And obviously the pep talk worked. Maybe he needs to go over to Ryan's bunch and give him the same pep talk.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see how all that plays out. Sorry, I was a little distracted. I just saw a post on Facebook from our dear friend Wayne. But it wasn't anything important. But, you know, when Wayne says, we all listen. Let's get back to this. Okay, let's talk about the Pure Michigan 400 this weekend for the Cup race.
Okay.
They're going to be at Michigan International Speedway, and there are 45 drivers, 45 teams competing for 43 spots. We're going to talk about TJ Bell. He was possibly one of our, he still may be one of our callers tonight. Hopefully we can get him on and he can talk about him joining us with the number 32 of Fastlane Racing. Kenny Schrader was originally in the car, but TJ will be driving it this weekend. And I believe he will also be attempting to put the truck in the show for Jennifer Jo Cobb with Cobb Racing, the 00.
Okay, yep.
So we'll, you know, we'll see how that, we wish them the best. You know, we all hear that TJ, TJ's doing some wonderful things with the Hero organization and Green Smoke. They're teaming up to honor our wounded soldiers. Doing a lot of really good things with these companies that he's with. So we wish them the best, and hopefully we can get him on tonight. If not, maybe next weekend.
Sounds good.
Sounds
yeah, it looks
good.
Like he's going to be in Jennifer's Zero Truck Driven to Honor.org sponsor, and it's going to be in the Dodge Ram.
In the Dodge Ram.
In the Dodge.
And again, Jennifer was another one that was to be on the show tonight. You know, I believe I told y'all already. But when I got the message from TJ Bell that there was a team meeting at 8, he did not specify which team, but it is possible that it's that team there, and that's why neither one of them are able to come
here's
on the
a
show.
Question for you. Since, you know, we've all learned that Dodge is pulling out in NASCAR, I'd like to find out, you know, what's Jennifer going to do? She's in the Dodges right now. Both her trucks are Dodge, and it looks like Brad Keselowski, he's you know, sporting the Dodge out there in the truck series. What's going to happen to that? I mean, there's really, I mean, Chevrolet obviously and Toyota seem like they're the two dominant forces in there. And I see 1, 2, 3 Ford entries for the weekend. And the rest are Chevy, Ford, and then 3 Dodge entries. So I'm kind of curious, you know, what's going to happen with that? And maybe is Ford going to step it up a little bit and become more prevalent in the truck series? I'm wondering why they're not as high up in the truck series either as Toyota and Chevy are.
You know, I'm really not sure. I do believe that that there was a statement made by Jen regarding the truck. You know, that they're still pretty secure in the truck at this point, and unsure of where they stand with the Nationwide. But on her website at cobracing.com,
mm-hmm.
you know, she is standing in front of her Nationwide car, and it is a Ford. So, you know, it's possible that move has gone on already with Cobb Racing.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to find out from her what's going on with that because, you know, she's losing her manufacturer next year.
Yes. Yes, that she is. Okay, well, let's move on. Hopefully we can get one of them to call in. And, you know, maybe TJ will also be able to answer some of those questions. Okay. You know, all I have to say is, I told y'all, let's not harp on NASCAR and let's not harp on the media too much about this AJ Allmendinger situation. Because if I clearly remember, it was me that pointed out, hello, everybody said, not Jeremy Mayfield, no way. And Jeremy Mayfield denied. I want to know, does AJ Allmendinger and Jeremy Mayfield have a secret friendship going on? So with these new rumors are coming about, tell us about them. Because I'm finding that pretty interesting.
It is, and, you know, some of the things that ESPN and them are reporting is that there's a source. They're not revealing who the source is or anything like that, but they're saying Allmendinger's not going to have the Road to Recovery program done for his reinstatement before the end of August. They're saying he's going to need a lengthier recovery period, which means this is more than just a one-time thing. And if you really think about it, you know, he hasn't been honest and upfront with us. He goes from saying, I don't know, I didn't take anything. No, not me. Must be something in my motorhome. Must be something that I ate, to, oh, well, I took a pill that somebody gave me. I don't know what it was. Now I'm finding out it's Adderall. But I didn't know what it was. I just took a pill from him. Well, you know, that's not a good thing. And if it's just a case of where you take an Adderall and one dose and done, and Adderall,
right,
just one dose, doesn't have enough time to build up in your system. So within 24 hours, it's not going to show up on a drug test if you took an Adderall. It's not going to show up enough to fail you on a drug test. So now that some doctors are shedding some light on the situation of what's going on, it makes me wonder what was in his system. You know, and be honest with us and be honest with your fans, because you know what? If it is something more severe than just a one-time thing, do you not realize how many people you could help by coming clean and going, this is what I did, this is what I'm taking, and this is what I'm getting help for, and this is what it can do to your life?
Right. Yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, I'm sorry, I was reading part of this, this report out by Jayski. But yeah, what it can do to your life. But the denial is what's really sad.
It is.
What's really sad. I mean, I don't know if most fans realize that you could be sitting at your hauler, any team member, not just the driver. I'm talking the hauler driver, the jack man, the PR person, marketing, team owner. It doesn't matter who you are.
They're going to come get
you.
They'll
walk up and say, where is so-and-so? And you go right then and there on the spot.
Uh-huh.
And be administered a drug test. So what the sad thing is that, does he think he was untouchable? It clearly states right here, while Adderall contains compounds of amphetamines, experts in the field say there are other prescription drugs and illegal drugs that contain the same compound. And this is not consistent with a one-pill defense. So you're right. What was he thinking? Was he thinking, well, you know what, I'm smarter than Jeremy Mayfield and maybe I can pull it off? And I hate to keep referring to that, but come on. Really, guys? Really? He tested positive. It doesn't matter what he tested positive for. NASCAR's policy is in place for a specific reason.
Right. It's in place for the safety of everybody out
the
there.
Track, but yeah, they're going around the track at 200 miles an hour. The pit crew are running over a wall at cars that are coming at them at 55 to 65 miles an hour and stopping on a dime. You know, if someone messed up with anything like that in their system, puts everybody in danger.
Exactly.
Everybody in danger.
You know,
and it's sad.
And that's something, you know, when, you know, it's the same thing in AMA Motocross. We have the same rules, too. We can get pulled at any time. So one of the first things I make sure I do is if I take one of my stacker drinks, my little 5-hour energy bottles, I leave them in the car. God forbid I get pulled. I've got that little bottle in there to show, yep, this is what I had on my way here this morning. Because that's enough caffeine to knock your levels out of whack.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just thankful that I'm not dinged, because let me tell you, with the amount of hero energy shots that I could drink and coffee
well,
at the same time.
I am looking forward to trying them out. I can't wait to give them a try. Maybe I'll have to switch over my program from Steppers to Hero.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you'll be able to meet Dan Leon and the Hero organization in Dover.
I am looking forward to it. I am super excited about that weekend and everything that's going on and everything that they're doing that weekend to honor some of our heroes.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's stay on this AJ thing, you know, not because it hasn't been overplayed, let me tell you. But you know, I just love it.
It's common
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely love it. I'm looking here for, there is a, I swore I saw a response.
I like how he's changed his story. You know, one minute he goes, well, I took a pill because I was feeling tired, so somebody gave it to me, so I thought it was an energy supplement. And it's like, okay, you said that, and then you turn around going, well, no, they told me it was Adderall and it gave me energy. It's like, well, what do we believe at this point? I want to give you a benefit of the doubt, but what do we believe at this point?
Well, you know, do I need to bite my tongue, or do I just say it?
You tell me
where to go on this.
I think...
You want me to say it?
How do I phrase it in a nice medical sense? We would call this a classic sign in the medical terminology. It's a classic
denial.
Sign. Denial. Yep.
Denial. Well, you know, okay, what do we believe at this point? Well, I just really have to say is, what do we believe when it happened? Really? Who is that naive to believe that at first he didn't know anything about this? It was, oh, yes, 2 days later, oh, yeah. It wasn't even 2 days later. It was after the B test was taken. Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
I didn't mean from the start.
I like to try and be open and give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't want to – it's just like in our justice system, you're innocent until proven guilty. But, I was trying to be hopeful. I mean, he's a great guy. We've interviewed him before and everything like that. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, he's got so many little kids looking up to him, and that's the last thing they need to see is their hero going, I have a problem.
Well, you know what? I think that's the first thing they need to see is somebody has fallen and they have the courage to say, I need help.
That's true.
And it shows a lot more character.
And at this point,
it shows a lot more character.
I'm sorry, you and I are on a completely different page on this. Do I feel sorry for him? Of course, because it is an addiction, because it is an illness.
Right. But he has to come clean with himself before he can come clean with the rest of us.
You know, yeah, that's true.
That's part of the healing process. You have to be able to say to yourself, you know, hey, I did this, I was wrong, before you can come to your boss and go, yeah, this is what I did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just absolutely crazy. I don't like it. I don't believe it. I don't know. And you know me, I always want to look at the flip side. But when it comes to drug abuse, drug use, and denial, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I have a very hard time believing stuff like that. Maybe because in my personal life, not me, thank God, I can say by the grace of God, I have never had an addiction to an illegal drug. But I have seen it. We all have. And
right.
Those that say, oh, I don't know anybody that's done it. Yeah, you know what? AJ and Jeremy are right down the road. They'll help you come to realization.
And, you know, it's not just illegal drugs, though. I mean, I've experienced firsthand. I've seen it firsthand from an alcoholic and seen what's happened to them and how it's, you know, turned their life apart. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of it, too, with being an EMT. And it's a shame and it's sad, but they're not going to get better until they can admit to themselves that what they've done.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, I mean, it makes me sick. Sorry. It just really makes me sick. And he's a young kid, too. That's what's sad. You know, that's what's really, really sad. But I think that, I don't think there should be random drug testing. I think in NASCAR it needs to be every single week. There is no way around it. There is no, I didn't know. Yeah, you did, because we do it every week. If you get some type of medication from the doctor, you bring your prescription bottle. You bring your prescription. You have your doctor's right there when he prescribes it. You know, he knows what type of business you're in. He knows what you do for a living. Therefore, that doctor can write a statement right then and there on the spot when your medication is prescribed.
That's true.
It's stupid. It's just straight up stupid, you know. That's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to something more interesting.
Okay, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't talking about Danica, were we?
No, we weren't. Not tonight.
Oh, let's see. Okay, we're back to Mount Kenseth. We don't even need to touch on that. He's still not talking.
He ain't saying a word.
Yeah. Sources have told NASCAR Wire Service that Kenseth is embargoed contractually from announcing his new ride until a later date.
That sounds about right. They don't want anybody to know. That way, it's not a distraction during the season or anything like that. Once the season's over, then you can talk all you want, but that way the media's not going, well, what do you think about going to your new team? And also, I think it's a good thing, too, to keep you focused on the team you're still with, because you're still obligated to them, you know, and that way you're not losing focus of the bigger picture of the team that you're with.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand, you know. I mean, we've got to strategically announce all at the same time. And I think that just gives everybody coming and going the same respect.
Right.
You know, so. Well, let's see here. Furniture Row, that's nothing exciting. They're looking to, you know, which manufacturer they're going with, whatever. We're all looking to see where everyone's going.
Yeah, and, you know, it is a shame for any of the teams that have to figure out what they're doing at this point, too, because, honestly, I'm not happy with what Dodge did to any of the Dodge teams. We're going to hold out, and, you know, like, Penske, I know, is your pretty much your primary Dodge team in the Cup Series. But to hold out like they did, make it sound like they were going to stay in the series, and then go, oh, we're not staying. It's kind of like,
yeah.
Well, if you were looking at going with them, and you heard all this, you know, unstableness, insecurity, why would you even consider going with them? I think hurt them in a way.
Mm. I know. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. Let's look here. Hold on. Well, we can talk about TJ Bell once again. T-Mon joins Fastlane Racing for the next three races. It's T, as in the capital T, M-O-N-E, has joined the team once again and will be an associate sponsor on the number 32 Ford for the next three races for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The partnership encompasses the remaining events in August, consisting of Watkins Glen, followed by Michigan and Bristol. T-Mon is the provider of a domestic business services and customer relations management. So they'll be on TJ Bell's car along with the Green Smoke and the Hero organization. So welcome, T-Mon. Welcome back. Welcome back to our favorite driver's car. We just appreciate your sponsorship. Okay, let's see. Moving on. Well, Truex says contract is basically done. Martin Truex Jr., who is in the final year of his contract with Michael Waltrip Racing, met with members of the media at Watkins Glen and discussed his contract situation. We are very close. I'm not going to say it's done, but it's basically done. I'm very, very happy about it. I guess it's one of those deals where we had to work out some details, but there was never a time when the whole thought of going through a contract negotiations again came up. I don't know. I just totally read the wrong line. Well, he looks like he's signing again with Michael Waltrip Racing, so he's happy about that. It doesn't give any details yet on what they are. But it looks
and
like he's okay.
You know what? I'm glad to see Truex actually have a spot where the team's given him a chance. You know, he has good runs. He has bad runs. But they've stuck by him. And honestly, I like the NASA commercials with him and Michael, and it makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
And the Aaron's commercials with Mark and Michael.
I love Martin Truex Jr. I mean, he is a doll. But you know what? We could just put Michael Waltrip just standing in front of a green screen or a mirror, and, you know, we'd get the same effect.
That's true.
he's a ham. He's wonderful. Yeah, but yeah, they work very well together. And Truex has done, you know, well for himself there.
He has, you know, and it's nice, like I said, it's nice to see him have a spot where, you know, they've had dedication and loyalty to him. He is one of our local boys, actually. New Jersey, I believe, was his area of origin.
Uh-huh.
So Dover is technically like his home track for him, homecoming, when he comes there to race. And it's just neat, and the fans down there love him to death.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a good guy. Definitely. Okay, let's go on to, you want to do Grandview and then we'll do Nationwide? Or
we
do you want to go ahead and do Nationwide and then Grandview?
Okay, let's do Nationwide. What we got going on there? We're in Montreal.
We are in Montreal. Well, some of us are in Montreal. I don't know. I was just reading that Reese Witherspoon is dead. But, again, it's just it looks like a Twitter scam.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It just says, is Reese Witherspoon dead? Stabbing death rumor sweep Twitter. But it doesn't really give me an article to read. So, you know, not that she's part of motorsports. But we would love to have her come and visit us at the track. Would we not?
That would be awesome.
I know, right? We should call her. Ask her to come on. Okay, let's go with Nationwide. Oh, well, you know what we didn't go over? We didn't go over track info on Michigan, but we can do that. So we'll do that in a minute. Let's just go back to Nationwide. Let me pull it up. That's what I get for reading my Yahoo and Twitter, right? Okay, now there's... we are in Montreal, Canada. The circuit, I am not even going to try to say this, the Villeneuve-Weyval. I do not speak French, but it's the Napa Auto Parts 200.
It's the circuit, I think it's Giles Villeneuve.
Yeah, okay, that's where we're going to be. It's in Montreal, Canada. There's a lot of names that we don't know, but, you know, we talked about that Monday night. A lot of these guys come out, you know, they're over there, they're going to try to capitalize on what they can't do here because they're in their home. So, let's see. There's 45 cars that are on the entry list. Ron Fellows returns. Luis Felipe Dumoulin. Ooh, how'd I sound? No?
Not bad.
So, no?
You can get through it. You got through it. You got Patrick Carpentier. Well, Jeremy Clemens made the trip.
I can say him. He was one of my fantasy picks for a rookie like 2 years
Kyle
ago.
Kyle Busch is going to be jumping borders.
Yeah. We'll see if Kyle Busch gets stuck at one of the borders. you know, I'm just such a fan. Okay, let's look here.
Well, there's Jacques.
Michael, go ahead.
Jacques Villeneuve is in there, which he has the same spelling of his last name as the track so I'm going to say it's probably Villeneuve for the track.
Villeneuve? Possibly. Very possibly.
Is it Kyle is the only one that's attempting to do double duty, it looks like?
Looks that way.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I thought that was kind of tough for them to be able to bebop back and forth with this. I mean, I guess they have enough time, but it makes me wonder what's he planning on doing for attempting for qualification and everything for NASCAR this weekend.
You know exactly. When he did, was it Sonoma? When he was somewhere else and someone else practiced for him and the only run he got was the qualifying run.
True. I mean, that's just, to me, that's a lot of travel. It's got to be really tiring on a driver, too. I mean... It's one thing to get to the track.
Oh, but remember, it's Kyle Busch.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Why sandbag? Why not let Alex Taglioni, he's going to drive the number 30 for Turner, you know?
Okay.
Why not let the 24 SR2, Derek White? You know, I would love to see him win it. Matter of fact, we were trying to get him on our show tonight, but unfortunately, with the short notice and the international calling, I don't think I've really ever run into that before. Oh, no, can't call. I'm in Canada. What do you mean? Don't you got Nationwide? Don't you got unlimited calling?
You know, we always forget about that. We have unlimited calling within the United States, but as soon as we leave the United States, you know, we're roaming. And there's no it's not free roaming in Canada.
You know, Tammy and I were trying to figure out, okay, how does Derek call us? How do we call Derek? Can we call through Skype? Can we call through the show? Can we,
I mean, we tried it every single way that we could think of to get Derek White and SR2 on the show tonight. You know,
here.
So maybe we'll have them on at a different time when we get our kinks worked out. But really, we're only going to be calling Canada once a year. I don't know. And if you want to order something from Canada, they normally provide you with an 800 number.
we'll figure it out. It's all good. We'll figure out how to get them on.
So, Derek, if you're out there listening, we really wanted you on the show. I have your number. I tried to call you. I tried to text you. But unfortunately, you're in Canada, and I'm in Texas, and it just would not allow it. I tried. I really did. But, you know, why would Kyle Busch just stay in Michigan? Do you really need to take that flight? Do you really need to do so? Can't you just let somebody else take this? Really? Set my piece. That's all I have to say. Okay. Joe Nemechek, you know, follow me, Joe. I just love him. Seeing that he just followed me all of a sudden on Twitter. And, you know, why can't Joe Nemechek do so? Why is Kyle Busch got to come? And if Kyle Busch wasn't in there, then there would only be 44 cars. Give someone else a chance. Then again, that's another topic that we have discussed already. So, just to let you know that it's the race will be on ESPN. NASCAR Countdown is at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and the green flag will be at 2:48. All NASCAR programming on ESPN2 is also going to be available on computers, smartphones, and tablets.
Now, you mentioned that. I want your input on this. Think about this. We're seeing less and less fans in the grandstands and more access with all your smart devices and your computers and everything else. Why bother paying to go to the race when you can sit at home and watch it all right there in the palm of your hand?
Do you want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm just going to have to read something.
You.
I know for you and I, but for everybody else, though, you know.
I'm going to give somebody just a brief insight of why we want to go to the races, okay?
Yeah.
I will be heading to Dover. Actually, I'll be heading to Philadelphia to meet Tammy for the first time, my co-host, and we've never met. We're going to get together and have some fun. But it's 39 days.
That's right.
And this is my post on Facebook. This is my personal Facebook page. So I'm letting y'all in a little bit of me. I've got 39 days to lose 15 pounds because those girls at the track are awfully pretty. I've got 39 days to find the right outfits to wear because I want to make sure I look as good as those pretty girls at the track. I got 39 days until I see my friend Tammy. And here it goes. This is why people should go to these tracks. This is why you shouldn't just sit and watch it on TV. For this feeling, because what I'm about to read comes from deep down. And if you haven't been to a race or you've not experienced the race the right way, you're not going to get it. But 39 days until I get to see the Monster Mile. Think of it. Think of it. The big old monster. I mean, that just totally constricts my heart.
Uh-huh.
39 days until I feel the roar of the cars. You can't feel nothing on TV. Crank It Up doesn't do nothing but just make you look at each other and say, okay, let's turn it down now. You have no way to turn it down. You feel it from your toes to your head. Why people are choosing to stay home? Financially, yes, I understand. But is it really better on TV?
No.
I say no. Can you see every aspect on TV? You sure can. Can you at the track? No. But the excitement is standing up and looking on the big jumbotron, looking all the way down to turn three.
And it's over. It's not just that.
Scanner,
it's over. You're seeing everything.
Yeah. I mean, but that's why. I mean, that's my opinion why people really need to experience at the track. You know, plus it helps the drivers. I mean, my goodness, if attendance is down, the purse is down. And y'all seem to think that, I'm not going to say y'all because, you know what, that's
stereotyping and judging. A lot of people seem to think those drivers get paid tons anyways. They don't need any more money. Why do they need my money? Well, let me tell you, there's probably maybe 10 of those drivers that are living the lap of luxury. The rest are just like me and you, struggling every single day. Yes, they may have a little bit more, but so does the CEO down the road that drives his pretty little Lincoln Navigator home. And so without the spectators there, the purses go down. Entry fees, everything just starts tumbling. And then again, we're back in the same situation with the sponsors that we are now.
And not only that, when you're at the track, it's a whole different experience. You know, when you're at the track, from when you park your car to you get to your seat, everybody's having fun. Everybody is friendly to you. I mean, you could go walk, somebody's picnicking. 9 times out of 10, they'll offer you something to eat or drink if they're picnicking and you're walking by. You know, it's just, it's
there?
Like being at a family reunion. Well, yeah, before the race.
I just thought it was great.
They tailgate. They play basket pong, you know. We play all kinds of cool stuff out in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's true.
At Dover, other tracks, and I have to laugh at this, and a lot of people don't realize this, is Dover, unlike all the other tracks, gives the fans really, really unique opportunities. One, you can see the entire track from pretty much anywhere you sit. Two, the drivers all pretty much have to come out one way if they're walking. So there's only one way in and out if they are on foot. So if you know where that is, you know where to go to try and find the drivers and get some autographs and meet them up, or even just take a picture.
Hey, but you know what? If you want to meet, if you want an autograph from the driver, y'all bring your own pen.
Yeah.
Bring your own pen a lot of times, because you might not get that autograph because there's no pockets in those fire suits.
Well, not only that, there's no pockets in Chad Knaus's running shorts. He almost ran over Tammy Ray last year when we were heading out last year after the Nationwide race. We were heading out to the car, and it's so funny. And, you know, this is where the sad part is. You know, he's running. He almost ran. We pulled out of our way so he didn't run her over, so we didn't have to slow down. But he's running right past the fans in his, you know, jogging shorts and T-shirt. And they're all just standing there waiting for people to come out, not realizing here Jimmy Johnson or Chad Knaus just ran right past y'all.
You know, I love Jimmy Johnson to death, you know, and I'm going to tell you, if my boy was running by, I'd be running with him. But Chad Knaus, I'd just say, enjoy your run.
Well, I mean, it's just something to me. Like, we were laughing so hard last year. The one fan on pit road is hollering and hollering, because Dover gives you the fan experience before the race. With your ticket, you can go down, walk the track, and stuff like that. Well, Kevin Harvick standing there in his Jimmy John's driver suit. Okay, so down the side of the legs, it says Jimmy John's. John's, not Johnson, John's. And the fans are there standing by him, screaming, "We love you, Jimmy Johnson!"
No.
Mm-hmm. It was Kevin Harvick.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't need to be on the track anyways.
It was just kind of interesting. You know, and I like the one thing, I think it was you that said we should come up and do this sometime. We need to do a trivia page, and I'm going to get some headshots at Dover and some different shots and stuff like that. And I'm going to put them up without anything that you could tell who the driver is. And I'm going to have a game, and you're going to have to name the driver.
Guess
who they are, and the people with the most right answers will get a prize.
Yeah. You know, I'll have to tell you, I have never, are you ready for this?
Huh.
I have never participated in a fan experience.
Really?
I'm always on the other side. I'm on the garage side. You know, I've been to Texas Motor Speedway, I don't know how many times, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've never been around to the other side.
Dover is so small that it's easy to jump back and forth. So we'll have to make sure you get over there and meet Sharon, who is our Air Force display person. Her and her husband run the Air Force display. They take care of all the Air Force personnel that come visit the display throughout the weekend as well. So we'll have to make sure you get to go out there and check out the Air Force display, because that's pretty cool what they do for everybody out there.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll definitely do that. I mean,
and we have
we're going
to
be there for 4 days.
And we have to get
you
out there anyway, because that's where your monster monument is. So if you want to see the real full-size miles, we have to take you out there.
But am I going to be a fan and take pictures in front of it?
Probably not.
No.
You know, I don't know how to be a fan.
My favorite thing has become to go shoot the monster at night. There's just something about seeing him all lit up with his eyes glowing red at nighttime.
Well, we'll have to do that. I mean, but like I said, I don't know how to be a fan. I never have been. Let me replace that. I am a huge fan, but I've never been on that side. I can't remember. Now, in 2009, when I was there with TJ, when he was with Red Horse Racing, I was at Texas Motor Speedway, and the only reason why, that's when Tommy Clowers, when we had Tommy Clowers on the show, when Tommy and I were talking, I was in the stands, but that wasn't for NASCAR. That was for those Indy, those little cars that go around the track. So I've never been to a NASCAR race that I've sat and watched, with exception of one, Coca-Cola 600 in 2005, and that's when I accidentally put the super glue in my eye and was transported to the infield care center.
Oh,
totally different story. Don't ask.
That's not good.
And y'all are just going to have to forgive me for a minute because I have froze up completely, and I'm going to have to restart. So let's just keep talking about something that's
let's talk
more
about
interesting.
What's Michael Waltrip's doing? Michael Waltrip's doing something pretty cool. And this is called the 5th Annual Best Western Fan Swap. And as a result of this, he's going to be delivering groceries to someone that the fans nominated. So what they're going to do is he's going to be visiting the winner from this year, which was a truck driver named Brian Bellinger. And Michael is going to be delivering some groceries and help him also do his job for the day. This is what they're doing. Looks like this guy drives a grocery truck. He's going to be delivering the stuff. It's kind of like, what do they call it, dirty jobs? But it's a clean job. So Michael's going to go out. He's going to help this truck driver a day. He was nominated by his wife, Renee. She says that her husband works about 60 hours a week, spends two nights each week away from home. And she nominated him as the travel hero because he's a frequent business traveler who sacrifices his time at home with his family and friends to hit the road to make a living for and support them. So they're going to be receiving the visit from Michael Waltrip, who's going to help him out. They're also going to get a $1,000 Best Western travel card to use on a vacation. They can use it at any of the 4,000 Best Western hotels worldwide. She said that they weren't able to take a vacation last year, so it's really exciting for them to be able to have a chance. And they think they're going to use it to actually go see a NASCAR race with it, which is kind of nice.
Have they not been to a NASCAR race? Will this be their first one?
That's what it's kind of looking like here.
Really?
So
that's interesting.
I think it's a great program, though, and I think it's a neat way that he's giving back to the community. By saying, okay, you're going to nominate who you think deserves this, and then doesn't say how they did the vote. But he's going to be heading out to Bristol on September 5th. He's going to report to Bozzuto's Inc., which is a wholesale food provider. He's going to meet up with Bellinger and his coworkers, and then they're going to head out on the road and make some deliveries to the local grocery stores. So if you're in that area and you work in a grocery store, odds are you're going to probably get to see Michael Waltrip that day. So keep that in mind. Wednesday, September 5th, if you get wholesale deliveries from Bozzuto's Inc., you got a good chance your deliveries are coming from Mr. Michael Waltrip.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, I am not back in the chat room, nor am I on our producer board, but I'm getting there.
While you're reloading everything, I want to let everybody know there was an announcement made by Grandview, and I think this is something everybody really, really needs to know about because this is important. This affects parking for the upcoming $50,000 race. So, as of right now, if you have a motorhome parked on the grounds of Grandview Speedway or you are camping on the grounds, you need to remove the campers, your tents, the whole nine yards. You need to get it off the property. There will be no parking of campers until after September 6th. After that date, they are going to be parking you in a sensible fashion. Reason being is they're expecting this crowd to be so big for the 50th anniversary event, the Freedom 76er this year at Grandview by BPG. They don't know if they're going to have enough parking, so they want to make sure there's enough room for everybody that we don't have a repeat of what happened on July 3rd when we ran out of room. So you're not allowed to park your campers until September 6th. When you do park, there is no block parking, which means you can't park your campers in the little square and party in the middle. Not allowed. Reason being is there's not going to be enough room. And Assistant General Track Manager Tina Rogers said, you know, we want everyone attending this history-making event for weekly short track racing at Grandview Speedway to have an enjoyable time. We will have ample signage so fans know where all the parking and camping areas are located. The neighboring properties will be charging for parking and camping. So if you are getting there and the track grounds are full, you will have to find a spot to pay to park. But they are going to be opening up some of the fields and stuff that they do have access to in the area. So there is going to be extra parking, which they're definitely going to need that weekend for this event. And it's just as big as it is. And they also want to make sure everybody can get in the track in a timely manner as well. So if you have advanced tickets, including season passes, you can have your options of entering at the main gate entrance or at the fourth turn gate. Which, for the fans that know, that's right there behind the grandstands in Turn 4. There is a little gate that they let you out of at the end of the night. Well, you're going to be able to go in there that day. So I know some of our listeners sit up in that area. So you're not going to have far to carry your coolers, your blankets to get up there, get your seats. But you still need to get there early. They're going to have three ticket windows open for race tickets that night. Just because they have three ticket windows open doesn't mean that you're going to have the line moving faster, because there's going to be that many people expected for this race. They did say, too, because of the high crowd capacity that they're expecting, they're going to have extra porta-johns on track, which is going to be a help for the spectator side of things. But, I mean, when you think about it, here's some of the names that are coming. We have Billy Decker, Danny Johnson, Kevin Hurthler, who was our winner last week at the $20,000 Forest Rogers Memorial. Past champions within the last 25 years all have guaranteed starting spots in this race. So, I mean, Dwayne Howard, Jess Strunk, Craig Van Doren, these guys are all going to be starting. On top of that, we've got entries coming in from New York. We have Larry White, Pat Ward, Pat Barron, Jimmy Feltz coming in. Six-time winner of this race, Billy Pouch Sr. is coming in. We know his son's going to be there. Plus, you're going to have all your track regulars. It's not going to be surprising to see over 100 modifieds showing up and entering to take their chance to win $50,000 on September 15th. With that being said, get there early. As of now, the track has not announced any fan activities during the day. We're going to stay optimistic that they are going to have something for everybody, because that's a long time for everybody to go during the day without anything to keep them occupied. So, you know, we're hoping Tina and Kenny announce that they're going to be doing something for the fans to keep them busy, maybe, you know, some autograph sessions from drivers or something along those lines, you know, to help everybody out past the time. I know I'll be getting there starting at 11 a.m. in the morning. Racing isn't going to start until 7 o'clock that night. You can get your tickets early every Saturday night at Grandview. It's $40 for adults 13 and up, and kids 6 through 12 are $10, 6 and under are free. You really need to get your advance tickets to make sure you have a spot and you have a seat, because this is going to sell out. I can't stress this enough. This race is going to sell out with $50,000 on the line. You can still sponsor laps in the race. Just get a hold of Ernie Saxton at esaxton144@aol.com. And when you're doing that, tell him Garage Talk Live told you to get a hold of him because you wanted to sponsor some of the laps over there. They're having a pre-sale on the program book that they're going to have that night, which is also our year-end yearbook. So that's another thing they're expecting to sell out. So you can also pre-order your book, and as soon as it is off the press, it will be mailed to you. And you need to make sure you get up there, and you need to make sure you get there early, and you have your tickets in hand, and save time getting in and out of that track, because it's going to be a long day, a crowded grandstands, and there's going to be lots and lots and lots of great racing from a lot of the big names and modified. So make sure you get there early. Have some fun, and come on out and cheer on your favorite drivers.
Well, that would be good. Well, will I be able to go to Grandview?
No, they're not racing that weekend.
Oh, you know what? I can always stay two or three more days.
Because of our season, the way we run up here, we'll run... One second. We'll run September 8th, then we'll run the 15th, which is our Freedom 76er. which has a rain date of the 22nd, which is the weekend before. If they don't need that as a rain date, then they're going to do that as a kind of like a run what you brung night. So whatever you bring and however it looks is what you're going to race type of deal.
Run what you brung? Wow.
Yeah. Like you could put wings on the modifieds, or you could put sail panels on them. You can kind of have fun with the cars.
Okay.
And
all
then
right.
Our last
all
week,
right. But then again, you know, I mean, my track experience is AMA Motocross and NASCAR. That's you know, I really couldn't.
Well, see, you should come. I'd say you'd come up for the 15th, but then you'd be here for 2 weeks. But you know, you always have that option.
Well, yeah, but I don't because Melanie's birthday is on the 14th, and you know, you have to be here for your baby's 13th birthday.
Yeah, you can't miss that one. That's a special one.
Yeah, and she's already pretty angry that I'm going to Dover, and she's not. But I think she's more angry that I'm going to see TJ, and she's not. So,
aww.
Yeah, you know, she loves her boys, let me tell you. She loves those boys. Well, now I am back up on Nationwide rumors. So news and rumors, I should say, because not everything I'm giving you is a rumor. One thing I want to touch on, we talked about Derek White. Well, they're talking about double duty in Montreal for Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill is going to play double duty this weekend in Montreal on the 18th, and he will drive for Rick Ware Racing, number 41 Lily Truck, in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. And then he's also going to do the Canadian Tire Series, driving the number 10 iSpeed Zone Chevrolet that's owned by Derek White. So Derek White looks like he's giving up his truck to compete in the SR2's 24 and putting Timmy Hill in his truck. That's interesting. Just kind of switch it all around, I guess, depending on where you need to be, you know.
Yeah, everybody's bebopping around here.
Definitely.
Well,
okay. Listen to this. Is there more Canadian races in the future of NASCAR? That was a question. I don't know where, but okay. It says this weekend's annual nationwide race in Montreal might be just a taste of what is to come north of the border for NASCAR. Since 2007, the Nationwide Series has visited the famed Circuit GV, we're going to shorten it, road course. Every year, rain or shine, the event draws one of the largest and most enthusiastic crowds of the entire season. The success of the race has sparked speculation of more NASCAR's top divisions may compete in Canada in the not-too-distant future, including Sprint Cup Series. Ron Fellows is now co-owner of what was once known as Mosports International Raceway, a storied motorsports facility in Ontario that includes a 2.5-mile road circuit as well as a half-mile oval track. Fellows has made it clear he would like nothing more than to bring NASCAR Nationwide and or Camping World Series race to what is known as the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park sooner rather than later. He states that we've talked to NASCAR, and yes, while we aren't able to put it together for 2012, we're pursuing something for 2013 schedule. NASCAR's CEO Brian France was in Montreal in the recent months to meet with this racetrack. I'm not saying it to the racetrack officials, and speculation is the sanctioning body would consider adding a third road course to the Cup Series.
I kind of like that idea of having another road course.
But the question is, where would the date come from? NASCAR says they will not add another weekend of racing to the schedule.
In order for Montreal to host
a Sprint Cup event, another track will have to lose one.
I have my thought on that, but I'll be a good girl. I won't say it.
No, please. Don't let me be the bad girl all the time. State what you have to say.
Even though it's my home state track, I would... Unless Pocono would put lights in, I would say that because I don't know. I know they shortened the race this year. It's made it for a shorter race. It's made it better for the drivers, the conditions, everything. And I know Brandon is working his tail off up there to make that facility the best they can. But I don't know. I just feel like there's something there that's missing. I don't know, maybe it's just because of the size and it's just that overwhelming of a speedway because of how big Pocono is. But I don't know. There's just something that's not there. I can't put my finger on it.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way because you're used to going there? I mean, how do the drivers feel about Pocono? That's something.
The words of Tony Stewart, his favorite thing about there is getting on the plane and leaving, and the least favorite thing is getting off the plane to get into the track.
No, we don't care what Tony Stewart has to say because he has nothing positive to say about anything because the tires suck. The track is bumpy because he forgot his toothpaste and didn't brush his teeth all weekend. I don't know.
I know. But you know what? The general consensus up there is they all say the same thing. But, you know, I don't know what the fix is because it is such a unique track in that aspect of its design. It's got three turns instead of the four. I don't know, maybe for me, they have so much room in the infield, I kind of would like to see maybe the fan zone put in the infield instead of on the outside of the track and make it expanded. I think the fan zone there is smaller than what Dover has, and Dover is a much smaller facility.
Right.
You know, I think maybe that's part of it. I do have to say the bus ride around the grounds was pretty cool to see what everybody else was doing. But I can remember back in the day when I would take my kids, and this is going back 10 years, where there was no room left to park in that infield on Sunday. None. You couldn't do it. They were cutting you off by 4 in the morning because there was no more parking left. You had to park on the grandstand side. No ifs, ands, or buts. It was full. Now you can still be pulling in 5 minutes before race time and get a parking spot. So I don't know.
Really?
I don't know how you fix that, though. I don't know if that's just a sign of our economy or what. But and I think maybe that's why some of it's not the same as what it used to be for me, too, because it used to be so. Pocono has steps where you can stand on to see your driver's garage area, little, like, grandstands. But I call them steps because you're standing. You're not sitting on them. But you can see down in the garage stalls and stuff like that in the fan area. And even there, you can still walk right up, grab a top row spot, shoot over the fence, and walk away and not have to push or shove. It just, I don't know. It's different. It's less crowds, yes. But, again, I don't know how you fix that. And all tracks have that issue. And I don't know how you fix it. But maybe if you make it more limited that you only have that one race you can go to, maybe you're losing a race, yes, but maybe you're tripling your turnout because you're losing that one race because now all these people that were at that other race only have no choice but to come to this other race.
Right. Yeah. But now, okay, let's just say we were to take out, you know, that race, but that's just, I don't know, I guess I'm just being selfish. That's just one less race that we can go to and the Canadians get it. I don't know.
I'm all for diversity. You know, I remember when NASCAR went to Japan and how excited they were over there when the guys went to Japan. And I'm just, if you want something to grow, you have to be willing to expand. And if it takes expanding into Canada and if it takes expanding into Mexico like they've been doing, then if that's what it takes to revive sport, so to speak, then that's what we need to do. If it takes building a track in the middle of nowhere where there's never been one before so that fans who have never had a track close to them can go, then that's what we have to do. I'm all about how can we rebuild it and bring back your fan turnouts and everything like that. I look at the bigger picture. If we keep going to the same tracks over and over and over again, that's great. We go there. It's tradition. But if now all of a sudden we say we're taking this one away, but we're adding this one, all these new people now have a chance to go to the race that they've never had a chance to go to before.
Correct. You're right. You're right. Because, I mean, how many people are really going to, you know, from Canada, they want to go, you know, they're watching it, but can they really afford to come down here to watch it?
Right. And for them, I mean, pretty much what are the tracks they could go to? Watkins Glen, Michigan, you know, they're pretty much right all along the edge there to make it, you know, unless they're made of money to make it affordable for them to come across the border.
Right. Hey, did you know I was just informed that Canada doesn't have dollar bills? They don't have a $1 or $2 coin. It's a one, oh, I forgot what he told me. but it's a coin, like a dollar. Gosh, I wish Evan Eagle, if you're listening, maybe you can text me or message me and tell me what it is that that you told me, because now I completely forgot.
Yeah, they are different up there, and also when we go there, our money isn't worth as much.
No, it's exactly the same.
Is it right now? It was the other way around for the longest time. They used to
laugh. Right now,
like,
it is the same. Yes, it's the same. I have spoken with our friend Wayne and Kevin Eagle, and it is the same, and that's how I found out about the dollars. They have a dollar, and then they have like a $2 coin, like a Sacagawea. You know, you're like a silver dollar, but like a Sacagawea coin, a dollar and $2.
Right.
And then they have up to, you know, so you have the dollar, the $2, and then your paper money starts at $5. That was just an interesting fact on Canada that I thought we'd go over. But, you know, my question is, and, you know, here, again, I'm just trying to get the facts for y'all that are listening. I just really wanted to know, well, say if you happen to venture into a strip club, would you throw the coin at the girl?
I don't want to know that one. Nope.
I haven't gotten my answer yet.
Not
but
going
I
there.
Ask that. I mean, that's a fact I want to know. What do they do? Did you just automatically give them a $5 bill? Well, because I thought, never mind, I'm putting my foot in my mouth.
Note to self, do not let husband go to Canada because it's going to cost more there. Got it.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, but I do want to know, what do you do when it's there? Do you throw a quarter at him? And they have to go and pick up all these coins off the ground?
Sweep them up.
I really want to know. So anybody that's been to Canada, has gone to a strip club there. I don't even know if they have strip clubs. Are they legal there? I imagine so. They're legal everywhere else. But what do you do? I want to know. Do you chunk your coins at the chick, or do you just give her a $5 bill? That's the question of the day.
Well,
not giving anyone permission to go or anything like that. If you're listening.
Let's go on to something more interesting. You know, we forgot to touch on something, and we have to give credit where credit's due for Jennifer Jo Cobb, and we didn't touch on this earlier. We need to give her this credit. When she qualifies for this weekend in Michigan in the truck, it's going to be history for herself and for NASCAR. She is going to be the second female in NASCAR history to make 50 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series starts. When she starts the race at Michigan's Saturday in the truck, she is going to join Kelly Sutton as the only two women who have ever done that. So I want to say congratulations to her for breaking down the records.
Definitely.
And setting new ones for the girls that are coming into sport to have to break. You know, and I'm glad to see it. And I hope the girls out there are seeing, hey, you know what? Now it's time to start going after that. She's holding the tie with Kelly, so it's time to go keep moving on. I'm not sure how many starts will beat the record. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do.
Is that how you find things? Put that radar on? The do-do-do radar?
Yeah, that's my little radar. Sutton has the lead right now with 54 truck starts, so after four more starts, she'll be tied for the overall, and then at 55 starts, she will be the top lady.
Wow. Well, you know, Jennifer's been driving for a really long time.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
in 2002, she made her ARCA debut in 2002. She finished 19th there. And then from there, she went to the Truck Series career with her debut in 2008.
Wow. Yeah, you know. Well, you know, congratulations. I mean, I would like to hear more of that. You know, more women getting, you know, a specific number of starts. other than one.
Yeah, and you know what? It is. It's starting to get out there. It's starting to, you know, be changed. And like you said, you know, the more the women get the publicity, all the women in the sport get the publicity, the more it's going to entice other women to want to, you know, start racing and getting out there and getting seen and move up through the ranks. You know, it's when you just highlight one, it's in some ways kind of, how do you put it? You're kind of, when you focus on one, you're making the others feel like, well, why bother? Why try? It's all about her. But when you start to focus on everybody that's out there, then we can see as a whole how it's going to affect everybody else, and it's going to inspire more people to want to get out there and race.
Right. Yeah, it definitely does, you know. But, you know, I think the sport's evolving. I really do. And, you know, I'm passionate about that, you know, women in motorsports, all different types of motorsports. You know, speaking of, I have a friend whose daughter, oh, for the life of me, again, we talked about this, and y'all know that I'm everything stupid but NASCAR. So what is that car again? With the long body with the wheels?
The Top Fuel Dragster?
That's it, correct. Her daughter, my friend Laura's daughter, is making the rounds. She's making a name for herself. Her name is Jessica Wall. And, you know, I'm going to get her on our show. She is, she's doing a lot of things, winning a lot of local championships. She's now traveling more, Oklahoma, it looks like, Arizona, Las Vegas, and doing this. And she's fairly young. So, you know, I think the more that we get out there, the more women that stand up and say, this is what I want to do, the more accepting it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. You know, and I actually seen it, some of it happening with where I work now, too. My bike sits, my race bike's sitting in the showroom of my shop. And two young girls came in today with their dad. And, you know, he's looking at stuff for him. They walk over and said, Dad, you got to come see this bike. He goes, what are you talking about? So they go over and they're like, look, Dad, it's got butterflies on. It's made for a girl. See, girls can race dirt bikes, too. We want a bike just like this so we can go out there and race. And it was just kind of, it made me feel good. I just kind of sat there and I didn't, you know, I watched everything go down. And it was just the neatest thing in the world, because just for them seeing the bike that was made for a girl, they wanted to go out there and try, you know, from, I don't want to be on a bike, I don't want to be near it, to, can we go try it now? And it's just a cool feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scared to be different with my stuff. I admit it. My bike is very obvious that I'm a girl. It's white with purple butterflies all over it. I have no problem with everybody knowing that I'm out there, that I'm a girl, and I'm competing with the boys.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I tried to compete with the boys, but my dad, I was very girly, yet very tomboyish. You know, like you know, that I, you know, grew up in motocross, AMA. I tried to race, kind of took a little bit of a whoop the wrong way, and my dad said, whoop, don't think so.
Oh, that's not good. That means
he put a stop to that. Well, I was his little baby, you know, so he put a stop to that. I tried, I was actually the only girl on a triple-A traveling hockey team, ice hockey, as a forward. He saw me get checked a couple times. Boom. Put a stop to that. I was out in Glamis, kind of tumped the, back then, the three-wheeler. Came back, kind of put a stop to that. So, you know, I mean, I really tried to break into the sport. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a girl in a boy's world. And he refused. He refused to allow me that privilege. So I'm really, and I guess that's probably why I'm so passionate about it, is because it's something I've always wanted to do, and it wasn't accepted.
Well, I could stick you on the dirt bike when you come up here to PA.
I know how to ride it, honey. I know how to tear it up, but he wouldn't let me.
We'll stick you on Blue Diamond. It's just up the street from Dover.
But I think that's, you know, a lot of the stigma still comes from, she's just a girl. You're going to get hurt, honey. Honey, you can't do that. Well, you know what? They can, and we can.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, I think that's why my passion for women in motorsports is so strong, is because it was something that I craved. I wanted to do it so badly, and he wouldn't let me. He would not let me do it. So it's, you know, it's something that I want to see and help promote any way I can. And if I can do that on this show, then that's what I want to do. Find a way to make it work.
Exactly. You know, it's not just the man's world anymore. The girls are out there. They're getting the job done. And I love it. I mean, we have Katie up here at Grandview, and she's showing the boys how to get it
Katie
done.
Katie McCordle, how
uh-huh.
is she?
She had a fifth place the other week. She is super strong up there, and I just cannot wait for the night where she's in victory lane. It's going to be awesome, and she's so close, and she's right there, and it's going to happen. And I'm hoping it happens. We have four races left, so I'm hoping we get it in.
Well, you do have to ask Katie that when she gets that win, that she will come on the show the next, you know, our next scheduled show.
Oh, I don't think that'll be a problem.
I don't think it would either, you know, and maybe bring mom and dad on with her, you know, just to share her glory with it. Because, you know, if she does come in victory lane, it's something that she strives for. You know, she's worked very hard.
She has, and it just proves a point, though, up there. You know, it's not a gender sport. It's knowledge-based
right.
and equipment-based.
Right. You know, and what I really would like to do is I'd like to, you know, maybe get another edition of just back-to-back women in motorsports callers from old school Mercedes Gonzalez, motocross, AMA, you know, to Enders, to McCordle. We know we won't ever get Danica, and I don't know, I would probably have to be absent that day if we did.
what are you going to do at Dover?
Oh, I'm going to look at her and say, I'll show you the unrated version right now. How's that? You know, and get Jennifer Jo Cobb on, maybe Johanna Long, and just pay tribute to the women in motorsports. Because y'all listeners might not know, but that's why we started this. It was more of a women in motorsports. And we can get the facts just like the guys. We do the same research that the guys do. We go on J-Ski. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. It's not just a man's world anymore. It's really not. And we can still be girly and still know what we're talking about. I can sit down with a beer, watch a race, watch a football game, and still go in and put my makeup on. You know, it's not one way or the other anymore. Did I lose y'all?
No, I think that'd be great. I think you know, women don't always get to do that they deserve in motorsports. And then you have others that are highlighted when maybe the glory shouldn't be all going to them.
Right.
But it's great. You know, I love seeing the fact that there are more and more women coming out. Like in motocross, we're starting to see more and more women come out and compete. You know, when I first started, you'd be happy if we'd see one or two girls. And the first time I went somewhere and I raced with 41 girls on the gate, it's like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't the Powder Puff race like I did?
No, this was a full-blown, this is a women's national qualifier that I went to. It was the round right before going to Loretta Lynn's, and it was a pretty amazing experience. I've had that opportunity twice. I've never made it to Loretta Lynn's. I've almost made it. Been so close, but yet so far away. But
right, that's a qualifying race, isn't it?
Yeah, I've made it through
invitation.
I've made it through two of the three rounds. I've made it from, I don't know how they break it down. I made it from my local regional to the national regional, and I've never made it past the national regional to the actual Loretta Lynn's. I've come close.
And they are AMA sponsored, correct?
Yes. Yep, it's all AMA.
Yeah.
And one of these years I'm going to get it. I'm not giving up. I may be the oldest one out there, but I'm going to go.
Hey, you know, back then we called them the four-strokers. You might just go.
I love the fact that they have to make sure everybody knows I'm out there with a bunch of girls that are 12 years to maybe 16. Pretty much once
they're a little. There's 22, 23 year olds out there.
Well, no, once you get to regionals and stuff like that, not really.
Your age group.
You're, 12 to 16 is about your max, because once they hit 16, they start finding boys and they have other interests, so they kind of don't ride as much anymore.
Okay,
but, you know.
This is, Tammy, that's the same for the guys, though, too. You know, growing up in the series, starting as the gate girl, you know, ending in checker flag, it was the same thing. And I know, you know, the parents that put their, you know, their kids in these races, they do it for a reason. You know, obviously they have some type of talent. A lot of parents will put them in for the interest, but they develop the talent and they keep them there. But at a certain age, their minds do start to wander.
Yeah, they get distracted.
And I clearly remember some of, I'm not even going to say their names, just, you know, to protect their privacy, but some of the big names that we've all heard of. You can't date. You can't have girlfriends.
No, there's no time.
You're going to be distracted. Fortunately, I was, you know, in the circuit, so unless you date her, she wants you to get on that track. Because they don't want them out on that track. Because, oh, no, they just crashed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't crash. It's endo. Excuse me, they missed the third jump. Whoa. And you're
going
to call top right, you know. That's a rut, honey. That's not a big hole. It's a rut.
It's not a pothole.
Oh, did I do that? Right. So yeah, I understand about the distraction and the age. They just stop. It's not cool at that point. You know, unless they have an insignificant amount of talent, and then they know, you know, what they're looking for. It's interesting, very interesting.
Let's see. So what else do we have going on? We have a little bit of time left, so what else do we have going on?
Well, I don't know. Let me go see. I was not at my computer. I decided to walk away. We have a dog running across the yard that's about to run out of the gate. And you recall last time he did that, I had to chase her down. See, and I'm gender friendly. I have a girl dog named Alex. My daughter did that. Everyone says, oh, it's a really cute little dog. He's so cute. No, it's a girl. But his name is Alex. No, it's still a girl. Her name is Alexandra. How's that? Let's go see what else is exciting. I don't know what else we have going on in the rest of this race week. Next week we'll be at Bristol. And all three, correct?
That should be all three. And Shelly, the shelter dog, is going to be there too. So make sure you stop by and visit with Shelly. Shelly does a lot of good for the homeless animals, not just puppies, but all the homeless animals to help them find a home. So puppies and kittens and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure they're going to have some of their adorable little fur babies available there, too, that you can go meet firsthand. So while you're at the race, make sure you go check out Shelly. Shelly just posted.
And tell him we said hello.
Yep.
Large Talk Live, girl, getting the facts.
Shelly just posted on her page, too, you know, 1 week to go. So, you know, she was letting all the pups and kittens know that there's 1 week to go till they party in Bristol. So go visit all the fur babies.
Yeah. Take one home.
Take one
make
home.
Make sure you have a suitable home for them.
Take a couple home. Make them all feel loved. They're going to love you and give you the best life you've ever imagined for. They're going to love you so much. And like with my baby, I always wonder what I did to deserve to have her love me like she does.
Well, we all do. We all do. And we have to say, you know, thanks to you know, Shelly and bringing the attention that dogs need love, that they need to... they need homes. They need someone to care for them, you know, feed them, water them, love them, because they hurt just as much as we do.
Yep, and it's a commitment. It's not something where you decide, okay, I'm going to take them home, and 2 days later you don't want them anymore. It's a commitment. You can't give up your kids and take them to a shelter when you don't want them anymore. You can't do that to an animal either.
No, you can't. All right, let's talk about some facts of Michigan International Speedway. Okay, the first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series was held in Michigan June 15th, 1969. They had groundbreaking in 1967, so it took them quite some time to build this track. It was known as Michigan Speedway during the time Roger Penske, he was the primary owner from 96 until 99. It's a 2 mile, and it actually just went repaving this season.
let's see here, 1973, which is that one race. There's been, since 1973, there's been two races each season. It was the first 500-mile track in length. It was the second schedule for the 600. The track measured 2.04 miles for the last race in 1970, and both races in 71, with the racing distance being 402 miles. The first pole winner was, do you know?
I wasn't around back then.
let me think back. Oh, yes. Donnie Allison was the first pole winner.
Okay.
The first cup winner was Cale Yarbrough. There have been 42 different pole winners, led by David Pearson with 10. Mark Martin has 5. Only 34 drivers have won. Again, David Pearson has 9. And 20 drivers have more than one victory. The race winner has started from the pole 16 times. That's the most productive starting position.
That's not bad odds.
And the last winner to drive from the pole was Brian Vickers in 2009. 66 of the 86 races have won from the top 10 starting positions, including 46 from the first four spots. So it's going to be interesting to see who's going to win this race. Let's see where they start.
And is it going to be another race like last weekend where, you know, the last lap and kept changing leaders?
It might very, very well be. Mark Martin was the deepest in the field when he started 32nd, and he won, and that was in June of 2009. The Woods brothers and Roush Fenway both have 11 wins, more than any other car owner. Carl Edwards and Matt Kenseth are the only drivers to average a top 10 finish. Edwards has 2 Michigan wins and has an average of finish of 8.3. And Edwards is the first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series start at Michigan. That was his first one. Kenseth also has 2 victories with the average finish of 9.2. So there's not a whole lot of stats on that track. Not like, you know, the good stats that I like to hear with Jeff Gordon dominating, but I know y'all don't like that.
No.
I know that's something
and I just
that y'all like.
I just got a woof from Shelley that as soon as they're situated in Bristol, we will know so we can let everybody know where to find them next weekend.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, Thursday, we'll already have that information, so we'll definitely let y'all know exactly where they're going to be. Make sure you go by and tell them that Cindy and Tammy said, hey, what's up? Okay, now let's see. Hey, you know, Jamie McMurray resigns with Ganassi.
Okay.
For 2013.
Is it just a 1 year deal or is it
really
multiple?
Huh?
Is he 1 year or multiple?
It just says for 2013.
Okay.
He signed a contract extension for 2013. I'm set for here, is what he said. So after qualifying at Watkins Glen, it's done. I haven't really made a big decision about it. Drivers take different approaches. Some like all the publicity talking about it. I don't. But everything is set for next year, and I'm excited to be back here. He didn't say how long his extension runs, but apparently he didn't test the free agent market, which is probably a wise decision at this point. You know, Jamie hasn't really done a whole lot this year, last year either, or the year after that.
Well, he's another one that he comes in spurts.
Right, he does. But, you know, I mean, it's been, I would say, since 2006, 2007, that we've really had a lot of media on him. You know, when he had that cute little spiky hair with the blonde on it. You know, that was... I think y'all are going to start realizing how I judge my drivers.
Oh.
You know, I'll just relate to a year with you know, what their car looked like, their commercials, what their hair looked like. That's just what I do. You know, the fashion. You got to put that in. Okay, let's see what else we have. I don't know. There's really nothing else going on. We got some sad news. Jerry Grant, he's a 10-time competitor at the Indianapolis 500 and first person to run the official lap faster than 200 miles an hour in Indy, died on Sunday at age 77. Lois Tyler, 81, of Pennsylvania, passed away Thursday at King Community Hall Hospital following a brief illness. She was married to Carl A. Tyler, who passed away in January 1993. Along with many other jobs, she also worked in her husband's mechanic business in Daytona, and she spent many years as NASCAR Legends driver. So we've lost another driver, another female driver. Look at there, way back when.
It's a shame. Yeah, you know, we're losing a lot of the older drivers in our area. You know, we go back to thinking about Reading and everything. We've lost so many drivers in just a short time. And, you know, that's why we need to get the youth encouraged and out there, because without them, it's not going to continue on.
You're right. You're right. And they were such a force in the sport. You know? Let's see. Let's see what else we can put on here. Jayski is no longer posting TV listings in this spot. You got to click on the TV listings page now, just in case you all were trying to figure out where that went to. Still, I think, you know, we've touched base on everything, and it looks like, you know, we're just about out of time, so we filled our time right. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get, you know, our callers in, TJ Bell and Jennifer Jokov. But we will definitely have them on at a different time. I'm starting to sound like someone else that we know and fumbling over my words. I'm just trying to see if there was anything else on here. I'm back on Nationwide. Let's touch on the truck race. You know, we haven't talked to any truck this weekend, this week. Let's go to the truck news. You got anything exciting on the truck?
Other than Jennifer and her 50th start this weekend, not a whole lot that's been coming out of the truck series lately. It's been pretty steady and quiet for news-wise and things like that. Other than my big question is what's going on with, you know, the Dodge trucks and everything to find out where they're going, what's going to happen with those teams. But, you know, that's about it.
The trucks are in Michigan with the Cup. They're racing Saturday. It's on CTV. Setup starts at 12. The race starts at 12:30. So it looks like it's going to probably be ending just in time to switch over to ESPN2. And watch our Nationwide boys. Let's see if there's anything. There's really no news in the truck series whatsoever here. Nothing. It looks like Friday we're going to expect a 30% chance of rain in Michigan. Not sure how that's going to affect anything with practice. I do know that Kevin Ray, team manager of Red Horse Racing, posted that there was he was landing yesterday and there was some rain. So let's hope they don't get rained out. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like in Montreal. Hopefully that won't make a difference. It's a road race, so they're going to race rain or shine, which is good. And remember, that's on at 2 p.m. Countdown starts at 2 on ESPN. And that's about it. Well, we can always talk about Dover. 39 days.
39 days until Dover, yes. The Monster Mile is going to be roaring up here in the Northeast. And, you know, up until the year Jimmy Johnson won the championship, it used to be that you didn't want to be the points leader coming out of Dover, but he's broken that. So that myth is going out the window now.
I hate to go to Dover and it be rained out, but I have been told to bring my rubber boots since they are very cute. So I've got to pack those. Rain or shine, I'll be there.
Well, here's another thing with Dover, and a lot of people don't realize this. When you go to Dover, they have an area in the casino that you can sit in and watch the racing. You can buy tickets and actually sit in the casino and watch the racing.
Yeah.
It's an all-enclosed glass area. They also have the Turn 3 bridge where they do have seats and stuff like that. I'm not sure how you get your seats, if there's any still available or anything like that. But you can actually sit over top of the racetrack and watch all the racing action in Turn 3.
Now, if anybody's interested in getting a room at Dover Downs, you're going to want to call. You cannot check online for reservations because they do say it is sold out. Does not necessarily mean that they are. There's just a lot of rooms that are blocked off for that race. But I was on the website, and it is absolutely remarkable. There are trackside rooms which just have a spectacular, spectacular view.
It is definitely something. You have the option of getting a trackside view, or even if you don't stay in the casino, make sure you go in the casino and check everything out. You can go in there and you can actually look out upon the track and everything from inside the casino, or you can just walk around and take in everything. They have table games, they have slot machines, they have places in there to eat, places in there to shop, all kinds of stuff.
Yes, they have a Godiva chocolatier. And I do hear that they have a Tiffany's and Company in there. I did not see that on their website. But if anybody is there and they want to go to Tiffany's and they purchase something, please, by all means, feel free to send me your blue box and blue bag, because I don't care whether there's anything in the box. I want a Tiffany's box. I've wanted it since I saw Audrey Hepburn and Breakfast at Tiffany's. I have been enthralled with Tiffany's ever since. If it's Tiffany's, it's for me. They just don't know it yet.
If you had more time, I'd take you up to New York. You'd go see the big store.
Oh, I've not been there.
Well, maybe you'll have to come up close to Christmas and we'll go up.
Yes, Christmas. But, yeah, Dover Downs is just absolutely amazing. I'm excited about my trip going there. I'm trying to think how I'm going to get through the next 39 days. Tomorrow will be 38.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
One day at a time. I have a lot to do. Like I said, I've got to find all the right outfits to wear. You know, I got to have warm weather and cold weather. According to the almanac, one day is going to be sunny, and the next day it's going to be cool.
Sounds not right.
Sure how to pack. Might have to pay that extra $35 luggage fee, but I'll get through it. It will be okay. we're really, really going to try to figure out how to do a live remote broadcast from the track.
Yeah,
if we do that, hopefully we'll be able to have some pretty big names on, is what I'm hoping. We'll be in both the Cup Garage and the Nationwide Garage.
Yep.
And bringing you, if we can't bring it live, we'll maybe take some interviews and quote on the air. So it will be a very interesting show.
It is. It's going to be neat that weekend. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff with the show that weekend. Now with us being on Blog Talk, it really opens up our capabilities and everything. So you never know. Keep your eyes peeled, because I'm sure we're going to be popping in shows here and there. So you got to make sure you keep an eye out for what we're doing that weekend.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I'm excited. And you know what? I'm actually kind of pleased with how our show went tonight without any guests. But, you know, we roll with the punches and still bring you as much facts as we can.
Yeah.
And, if there's any time that y'all have a question you want to call in, if we have a guest that you might want to talk to, by all means, call in, call the studio. We are more than happy to have you on. If you want to call in and be a guest yourself, bring it. You know, we're open to hear what you have to say.
If you want to call us up and make car sounds, we've had that too.
We've had that too, yes. Absolutely, I think someone was actually flushing the phone. But our call-in number is area code 646-649-1899. We are on the air Mondays from 8 to 10, and Thursdays, Girls Getting the Facts from 8 to 10. So you have two opportunities to hear. On Mondays, we're not so boisterous. Our host, Vince, say his last name?
Bonfigli. Uh-huh.
Does a wonderful job at interviewing. He's got a lot of contacts and brings on some pretty good guests on the show. So we are excited that y'all are listening to us and hope that you continue to do so.
Well, I guess that's going to about wrap it up then for us tonight.
I think so.
As soon as we know when our rescheduled dates and everything are, we'll let everybody know. But until then, tune in this weekend to NASCAR. You'll be seeing them at Michigan and in Canada. So make sure you tune in, cheer your favorite drivers on, and we'll catch us on Monday night.
Bye.
See ya.